Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you here this morning. I'll hand over to Marion to take us through the intimations.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. The church newsletter. We are still keen to produce a newsletter for the parish to go out round about gala time. Could you write an article on something about church life or one of your activity groups? Have you something interesting to say about village life in general? Do you have a poem, a recipe, a pattern, a joke or a cartoon to share? Please send your contributions to Derek@cairnhillchurch.org.uk by the end of today. The walking group. The next church walking group is next Sunday, the 28th of May, around Gartmorne Down. Meet at the church car park at 2 p.m. Kirk Session. There has a special meeting on Thursday, the 1st of June at 7:30 p.m. Cash. Our next cash day is Sunday, the 4th of June. Chocolate Wanted. For the gala this year, which is on the 10th of June, we are reviving the chocolate dip. Please bring donations of unwanted chocolate to church any Sunday before then. Gala Week Over 65's Afternoon Tea. You're cordially invited to the Gala Committee's afternoon tea event for over 65s on Thursday the 8th of June between 1:30 and 3:30 p.m. in Cairnhill Church. Sandwiches, scones and sweet treats plus tea in a wide range of flavours, all provided by Bakes by Nikki. Add names to the list at the Spar by the 2nd of June, please, as places are limited. One intimation that's not on the sheet is that we had a very successful coffee morning yesterday and we raised the grand total of £192, which is great. And thank you to everybody who supported us and helped in any way. There's home baking for sale after the service. Left over from yesterday. There are further intimations on the printed sheet and this can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you don't have a copy. Finally, here is a quick look at the order of service.
I'm sorry I missed the coffee morning, but was sitting in the Assembly Hall in Edinburgh instead, and just so that you know how exciting it was, when we broke for our break in the afternoon, we were only finishing what we should have finished before lunch. So I think it went on to about 6 o'clock before we got out of the Assembly Hall. But there you go, that is General Assembly. But a great total, and I'm sure I'll be at the next coffee morning. We are here to worship Almighty God. So let's begin our service by singing hymn number 438, The Head That Once Was Crowned with Thorns.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we present our gifts seeking your blessing upon our church, our parish, and our world. Use all that we offer in your service and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's worship God now in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we raise our eyes heavenward in awe and wonder. We look to Jesus, crucified, risen, and glorified. We rejoice in Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, both Saviour and Judge. We rejoice in the assurance that Jesus speaks for us, interceding in the heavenly places on our behalf. Here, as we gather in worship, we remember that our glorified Lord shares our humanity and understands our weakness. Here in worship, we remember that our earthly Lord is the eternal Son of God and reigns in glory. With awe and wonder, we think of Jesus' promise that the Holy Spirit would become our strength and our guide. We look to the Spirit to transform our living, to gift us and guide us, so that we live out our faith in Jesus, so that we glorify our Heavenly Father. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you. You, our God, are gracious and merciful. You sent Jesus to save us and your Spirit to guide us. You have given us many gifts, not least of these, the gift that allows us to choose, the gift of free will. For we can choose between good and evil. We can choose to be your people or not be your people. We can choose to live for you or live for ourselves. Almighty God, we want to be all that you created us to be, but we do not always make good choices. Our thoughts, words, and actions are not always pure. So we ask you to hear us now as we lay before you that which needs your forgiving and healing touch. In this moment, speak to us those words so often used by Jesus, "Your sin is forgiven." By the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, we pray that we may go forward in faith, serving more faithfully tomorrow than we did yesterday. In Jesus' name we pray, and in the words that he taught his disciples, we say together, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." We continue now by singing hymn number 436, which is also at Mission Praise 77. I'm using the Mission Praise tune because it tends to be a better known one than the hymn book. So, hymn 436, "Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning."
Yeah.
Although I have a suspicion that was the tune from the hymn book rather than from Mission Praise. But there we go. We sang to God's glory. This Sunday is associated with Ascension. If you had your diary out and were looking very carefully on Thursday, under the date, you would have noticed, possibly in italics, in very small print, the word Ascension. The story of the Ascension is found at the beginning of the book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles is Luke's sequel to the account of Jesus' life. He wrote his Gospel, and then he wrote Acts. Luke's Gospel concludes by telling us that Jesus was taken up to heaven. The Acts of the Apostles begins by expanding on that story by giving us details of what happened. The Acts of the Apostles begins by giving a brief description of what was in the first book, the Gospel. Now, this is a pattern that you'll find in all sorts of places. Anybody who has read a book that is a sequel, watched a film that is a sequel, watched series two of whatever series it happens to be, almost always there will be a brief moment where they say, this is what happened before. It's meant as a reminder for those who are going on to the second volume, and it gives an introduction to those who didn't have the first volume. In many ways, the book of Acts is what happened next. What we know as chapters 1 and 2 are a transition between the life of Jesus and the life of the church, or a transition from what Jesus did to what the disciples did next. This transition is found in two stories. There is the story of the Ascension and the story of Pentecost. We could describe this as, well, what happened to Jesus? And then, what happened to the disciples? Luke's description of what he wrote previously in those first verses of Acts leads us into what is, in effect, another resurrection story. It is that continuation of the Gospel. It continues also by saying that the disciples are struggling to understand. They are still thinking in earthly terms. Reading between the lines, it looks as though the disciples expected Jesus to stay with them. They were thinking in terms of Jesus revealed as the one whom the might of Rome could not conquer. After all, he was crucified and now he's alive. And that means that the temple authorities would have no choice but to recognize Jesus as Messiah. Israel would have a king above all kings. This is King David's greater son. Easter is long past. The disciples are eager for whatever Jesus will do as their risen Lord. What will he lead them to now? It is the time for action. Probably past time for getting on and doing something. But they had forgotten a very important truth. God's plans are not our plans, and God's time is not our time. So we come to the story of the Ascension. We're going to read from Acts chapter 1, and then a reminder from the first letter of Peter that as disciples, we are to humble ourselves under God's hand. Marian is going to read for us.
The first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, reading verses 6 to 14. It's entitled The Ascension. Then they gathered round him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, 'Tis not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.' Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." The second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 5, reading verses 6 to 11, and it's entitled, "Humble Yourselves." "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen."
Hymn number 441, "Blessing and Honour and Glory and Power."
Thank you.
I suspect some of you will have heard of this. It's sometimes referred to as the marshmallow experiment. It is a psychological test. And if you want to see how it works, if you look it up on the internet, you'll find lots of video clips. And it's been carried out with children, and very often through a child's life. So what they do is, first of all, is they take a relatively young child, probably preschool, but able to understand certain things. They're sat in a place where they are relaxed and not under any stress, and in front of them is a treat, hence the marshmallow. And what they are told is they can, if they wish, eat the marshmallow, but if they wait 5 minutes, they will get 2 marshmallows. And it's a way of checking how our minds work, whether we are those folk who want instant gratification or whether we can calculate the greater benefit of waiting a little while. Always seems a wee bit cruel. If you watch it, you'll see children trying all kinds of displacement activities so that they don't have to look at the treat in front of them. And having seen one of my grandsons helping his mother decorate a cake and told, do not touch. The pain is something else. I have no idea what I would have done as a child, but I have that sneaky suspicion I would have gone straight for the marshmallow. It struck me that there's something of this experiment in the beginning of the book of Acts. The disciples are ready for what they believe God is doing through Jesus as their risen Lord. What Jesus tells the disciples is that they are to wait for something bigger and better. After all that they have been through and all that Jesus has taught, the disciples are still thinking of Jesus as the Saviour of God's people, Israel. What they have not grasped is that God's plan is so much bigger, far beyond anything that they can imagine. What we have in the Gospels and in Acts is what the disciples remember. This is not a diary of events as they happen, but a remembrance of times they have been through. Clearly, when Luke sat down to write the beginning of his sequel book, the disciples remember how narrow their vision was compared to what God had planned. In some ways, the story of the church of Jesus Christ begins with the wrong question. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? The question is wrong, both in intent and in content. The intention behind the question is to know what God has planned. Now, I don't think that that is unusual, because I very often want to know what God is planning to do. And particularly in these uncertain times, I want to know what God has planned. The content of the question assumes Jesus' continuing presence on earth and that he will be instrumental in the physical restoration of Israel as an independent nation. And I too have that bit in me. I want to know God's timings, but I'm also pretty sure that God should be asking my opinion for advice on how to take things forward, because quite clearly I know better than God. Jesus' answer deals with both intention and content. It is not for the disciples to know the times and dates set by God. The emphasis here is that these are set by God's authority. That is where authority lies. And we are under that authority. And as I was told by many adults in my youth, and still probably need to be told now, just do what you're told. Jesus tells his disciples that they will have a part to play in God's plan. And yes, in a sense, they are right. It is going to be Jerusalem and Judea. But then there's and Samaria. The kingdom is going to include the wrong people. The people on the margins, those who don't quite make it, those who are, well, they're maybe looking in the right direction, but they've a long way to go. But even that is not the limit. The world beyond is included. Now, this is a lot to take in when your vision, your big vision, has been the restoration of Israel. And now, suddenly, it's the world. It is no wonder that the disciples are looking heavenward in the moment that Jesus is taken from them. Perhaps we can imagine them looking at each other and upwards and going, what did he just say? Did we hear that right? Jesus has just told them not only the bit that, well, you will receive the Holy Spirit, but he's telling them in this moment what it's going to mean. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, they will be able to do this. They will have the power of Almighty God running through them. They, not Jesus, are going in the power of God to the seat of power in Israel, Jerusalem. They are going to take salvation to Israel. They are going to bring back those on the margins, the Samaritans. They are going to take salvation beyond all bounds to the ends of the earth. And Jesus disappears in a moment of glory. In a very real sense, what they were expecting of Jesus, Jesus expects of them. The power of God they saw in Jesus, Jesus is promising them. Through our services of the last few weeks, we've tried to understand the resurrection through the eyes of very ordinary women and very ordinary men who were there at that time. And it's these folk, these women, these men who gaze into the heavens in wonder. It was to very ordinary people like us that Jesus spoke. Ordinary people just like us. Last week, in preparation for General Assembly, I took time to read reports that we will be debating through this week. The picture of the church in Scotland makes sobering reading. Now, I've said, and I believe, that the church is going to continue. It's not going to disappear, because it is the church of Jesus Christ. It may be very different from the church that we have known in our lifetimes. But the church will continue because it is of God and not of us. And that's fine, except I find myself praying, will you at this time bring revival to the church in Scotland? In this, I am certainly not alone. There is much talk of our need for vision and energy in the church so that we can truly be church for the 21st century. How much are we like those first disciples in the moments before ascension? How much do we either ask God or tell God what times and dates should be? You know, now's the time for things to be happening. Come on, God. Maybe more important, is our vision too small and too limited? Are we ready for God to do much more than we can imagine? Next Sunday will be Pentecost. Are we ready for the power of God to take us beyond and well beyond anything that is our comfort zone? I've sometimes had to admit that I'm not sure whether I'm more afraid that God will do something than that God won't. Because when God does, he has a habit of picking ordinary people, well, not just like you, like us, like me. It's a thought. And so in the words of Peter, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Amen. We turn now to our prayers for other people. Let us pray. Gracious God, we bring to you our prayers for others. We open our hearts and minds to you. We bring our joys and our sorrows. We seek your help for those in need, your blessing upon our world. In this week of General Assembly, we remember those who will gather from across the Church of Scotland. We remember those who represent the Church in all its branches, those who have come from other denominations to hear us and to speak to us. We remember those who have come from other places, from other countries, to tell us of the Church in the world. We give thanks for those who have travelled from far places to remind us of the wider world. Their presence a reminder of what we see and hear in the news, that it is about real people, about people like us. And so as we look out at our world, we remember those who live in places of conflict and war. We think of places like Ukraine and Sudan. We remember the peoples of the place we call the Holy Land, where so often the news is far from holy. In a world where many live in fear of conflict, of war, of death and destruction, we pray for peace on earth. We remember before you those who struggle because of unjust systems and oppressive government. We think of the effects of poverty and the ills of greed. In a world where there is so much injustice, we pray for your justice on this earth. We bring to you those whose lives are affected by natural disaster, extremes of weather and climate change. We recognize that humanity's use and misuse of the planet's resources causes many people to suffer. So in a world where we do not always care for the planet, we pray for the flourishing of creation. As we turn to pray for our own land, we recognize that the problems of the wider world are found here too. We recognize the need for good government and careful citizenship. We recognize the need for fairness and the sharing of resource. We recognize the need for us to respect and care for each other. Across our world and in our nation, you call upon your people to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Our prayer is that you will strengthen us and enable us to live out our faith, to be Christ-like in our thinking, in our speaking, and in our actions. In this week of General Assembly, we ask your blessing upon the Church of Scotland. Guide the commissioners to the Assembly to make good and right decisions. And as we look to the future, guide us as a congregation of your people. Help us to know what is good and right. Bless us, we pray, so that we may be a blessing to others. And now a moment of quiet to pray for those who are close to us, to bring our joys and our sorrows, our needs and our thoughts, to think of our friends, our neighbours, our families, and to pray for ourselves. Hear us now as we take a quiet moment in your presence. We offer our prayers and requests in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn number 448, the hymn that we normally know as Shine, Jesus, Shine. Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Shine on me.
humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.